God is so good and so faithful and so merciful and kind and gracious. You know, it's really frustrating the view that religion has given many people of God, that he's waiting for you to mess up so he can hit you over the head. He's waiting for you to do something wrong. He's looking for a way and an excuse to get you out because you're just not as good as everybody else. Have any of you ever heard that lie? Maybe it hasn't been said directly to you. Maybe you've been approached by someone who says, I don't think I'm good enough for God. It hurts my heart to know that people have lied about my Father that way. He is so good and so gracious and so loving. You know, there used to be a song a lot of years ago. I don't know, maybe one or two people in here might know it. But it said, "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, thine Lord? Who am I? Who am I? What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Well, you know what? You were his idea. How dare you think that you could mess things up enough that what he made, he can't fix? That what he made, he doesn't value. He values every single thing that he made. He values you. You were his plan. You were his idea. You are not an accident. You are not an also-ran. You are not just one in the bunch that doesn't matter. Every single thing that came out of the heart of God has value. Value. Not will have value someday if you clean it up and don't mess it up. Has, right where you are, has value. You are valuable to him because he made you. He thought of you and he looked at the world and he said, the world needs a Victoria. It's just not right without a Victoria right here. On purpose, he made us all with purpose, with destiny. And as I was just meditating on the word this morning that he had given me to share, he just said, I need you to remind my people how much I love them. God loves you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how rebellious you've been. He loves you just the way you are. He was not surprised when you did that thing that you knew better to do and you did it anyway. He wasn't surprised. And his love is still there. He doesn't withhold it. He doesn't manipulate like that. If you do something good, I'll love you. If you do something bad, I won't. That's man. That's man's mindset. That's not our Father God. He is so far above that. He sees the big picture. And he sees where you fit in it. And every second is an opportunity to get back on track. If we get off track, we've just lost sight of the heart of God for us. We've lost sight of the goodness that he has out there. And we mess up and we make mistakes and we do things wrong. We get ugly sometimes. I don't know about y'all, I get ugly sometimes. But God never stops loving us. And he never stops saying this, all right, come on, get back up. Come on, get back up. It is a bad parent who yells at his child when they're learning to walk and they fall, okay? Let me just put that out there. No, parents, that's bad. Your child is trying to learn how to walk and they fall. How many of you got angry at your children for that? Oh my goodness, that was a step and a half this time. Last time it was just a step. They went a step and a half. Did you see that? Come on, let's do it again. Two steps. Wow. And then the day that they make it all the way across the living room to daddy. Ah, they made it all the way that time. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. That's your Father God's love for you. Did you fall down? Take my hand. Let's get back up. Did you look away, Peter, and see the wind and the waves and you fell and it got ugly and you thought you were going to drown? Just reach for my hand. I'm right here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Always wooing us back to the place where there's blessing, Not the place where we look good and we got it right, but the place where there's blessing. Sister Lou, I missed your ad lib on that song. I know it's been a while since we've done it. We're not singing it right. Well, you will straighten us out next time we have rehearsal. Thank you. Because how many of you like to hear Sister Lou sing her ad lib on that song? Your voice still does things. It still changes things in the atmosphere. That anointing is not going to leave. Amen. Praise God. So God has a big picture, and I need you to understand this, and I know some of you do, but some people need to hear this. God is a big picture person. I love, you know, maps and directories. Like you go to the mall and there's this huge directory and there's Penny's in the middle and there's Macy's down here and Dillard's is over here. Some of you know what I'm describing. And you know where the Great American Cookie Company is, and then you know where Chick-fil-A is. It shows you all the wonderful things, and then it says, you are here. So helpful. Don't you love people that did that? It's so helpful, because now you know which way you need to go to get to what you want, the things that you need done. If you really understand the Word of God, that's what He's showing us. And I want you to see what the directory looks like, okay? It's just a little bit of a left turn, but this is a directory. I want you to imagine a beautiful Christmas morning, and the kids come downstairs, and there are just a myriad of gifts all around the tree and the living room. They wouldn't fit everywhere, and the kids are just in awe. And the parents are just like, here it is. And they go, they're not even sure even which one to open first. And maybe there's several children, and one of them runs to the biggest box there is, and the other one goes to the tiny box because they know good things come in small packages, right? So all of this is going on, and they're just discovering all of these wonderful things that their parents have put there for them for that time, right? Can you see it? I know some of you may have had those magical Christmases. Some of you may not, but we've all seen it on TV, right? So we know it exists. So this beautiful wonderland of gifts and things that they have made for their children. And it's always fun to watch that one that gets the big box of blocks or Legos or Lincoln Logs or something. And it's always interesting, what's he going to build first? Is it going to be a car? Is it going to be a cabin? Is it going to be a rocket ship? You know, is it going to be a person? You never know. You learn things about your children when you watch what they do, you know, with those Connects and Lincoln Logs and things like that. It's always fascinating. But this wonderful place where all of these things are, that is the earth that God created for us, for His children. And He put amazing and abundant and beautiful and useful resources in it. And then He released us into it, and He just sits back and He's like, I wonder when they're going to discover that if they use this rock, you can crush it and put it on this thing and record music and it'll play a cassette tape. Somebody discovered that. Pretty fascinating. God knew it was there. And He put it in the earth for someone to find it. I wonder when they're going to discover how to build an air conditioner. Hallelujah. Thank God that somebody had the vision. Amen. Have you seen that on Facebook? This is the man that invented it. Let's pause for a moment of thanksgiving. All kinds of things that God put in the earth for us to enjoy. It was like Christmas. I want you to find what I've put you here for. I want you to find your purpose. Which one of these things do you enjoy the most? Is it art? Is it dancing? Is it engineering? What is it that you enjoy? What makes your heart sing? And He's put all of these things in the earth for us. He made a beautiful world. That's why I love that song. What a wonderful world. That's kingdom. That's what God made. Now, enter the villain, okay? The neighborhood bully comes in and starts trying to take all the toys. That's the enemy. And he's disrupted the connection between parent and child. And do you understand that the big picture is that God made this big, beautiful world for us? And all he wants is to get it back for us. And he sent his son to take it back for us. And it's a process. And when we look in the Word of God and we're learning, God, what do you want from me? God's like, I want you to enjoy everything that I made for you. And he says, you're right here in the process. You've been accepted. You've given your heart. You've believed. You've confessed. You've received. And now you're learning how to reintegrate with a world that I made for you. Okay? One more little story to give you some context on the big picture. How many of you have seen or read The Count of Monte Cristo? There are a lot of different stories that we could use a correlation, but that's the one that came to me, and I'm not going to give you the whole plot of the movie, but when it starts out, we see two young men. One of them was born into extreme poverty, had nothing. No parents. I don't think there were parents in the picture at some point, okay? But he had virtually nothing, had to work very hard just to manage, just to maintain. And yet he was happy. He enjoyed everything that he saw. He loved God's creation. He loved people. He was well adjusted. And then his best friend was rich kid, was born to a count, I believe, and had everything that he ever wanted. He got the pony every Christmas. He had the mansion. He had everything that he ever wanted, and he was never happy. Because his heart wasn't right. You see the difference in those two? Now, some people come to God and they want to be that rich kid. They want everything they ever wanted, and that's what God is supposed to do for me. But God knows that just because you get everything you ever wanted, that is not going to guarantee your happiness. There is no way that guarantees your happiness, because you were made to fit with God. The spirit connection is what gives life, not the stuff. It's the spirit connection that gives the stuff life. That spirit connection is what gives you joy. Before you ever see one promise of God come to pass, I have peace. I can rest in God's promises. That's what God wants to get us back to. He's not trying to get us back to stuff. He's trying to get us back to the joy that he created us to live with. The joy of his presence, the joy of being connected with him, knowing that eternity is settled. And all there is today is for me to see, Daddy God, what you got for me today? And watch his blessings come in, because they will. But understand, they can come and they can go because they're not the source. So that is the process of what we're doing, is coming back to the understanding of how to enjoy and use what God made and put in the earth. He made us for the earth. We were not made for heaven. If you've read the book, you know we go up there for a little while and we come right back, because we were not made to live in heaven. We were given an earth suit so that we could live here. But when the spirit connection was taken out, we were left with the earth suit and the soul. So I need you to understand that your biggest enemy is not the devil. The devil knows how to use your biggest enemy. And your biggest enemy is unrenewed you. Unrenewed soul. Because even though you're born again and you are a spirit being, you still have a soul and you live in a body. There's three of you that vote on everything you do. Three of you have a voice, okay? So you've got your spirit man that is always one with God. It's always drawing you upward to the higher things, to the better things. You've got your flesh that just wants what it wants. It doesn't get saved until we receive a new body. So who gets the deciding vote? Is it the devil? He's just an influence. You get the deciding vote. You're the one that decides, is this going to be a good day or a bad day? You're the one that decides, am I going to trust God or not? And it's making that choice to renew your mind, your soul, that will give you the victory and the joy and the satisfaction of running down there to that Christmas tree and opening those wonderful things. And so we are in that process. Some of you think your biggest enemy is the devil. You think everything that happens is the devil. But understand that God wants to work in you a heart that rejoices in Him. And when ego is in the way, He's going to have to get your ego out of the way. Guess what? That's going to be painful. Because there are things that we want to hold on to. And we think the devil is just trying to mess with me. And it's like, no, honey. God's trying to prune some things off of you so that you can blossom and be beautiful. So be careful when you're going through your day. Be careful when you see challenges come. And understand that you can see it as, well, the devil's just trying to steal from me and give me a bad day. Maybe the Holy Spirit is just doing some polishing, some refining. Let's turn the heat up a little bit and get rid of that stuff. Because there is no more freedom than when you realize that greed has gone out the window and I just don't care. If you need something, you can come in my house and take it because my God is big enough and it has no hold on me. Do you understand? That's what Jesus meant when he said the enemy has nothing in me. And there are no buttons that he can push. There's no triggers that he can fire. There's nothing in me that's going to make me go to the dark side. That's what God wants of you. He's not fussing at you. He's not saying straighten up just so that he can have some peace and quiet. That's one of my pet peeves with parents. They're just trying to get the kids to shut up. What can I give them that they'll leave me alone? No, teach them something. Train them something. Train them to contribute to the peace of the household. If you're faithful with that for a little while, you'll never have to worry about it again. God is not trying to get us to just shut up so he can have some peace and quiet. He has a purpose and a plan for us to change us so that we can greet every day with a pure heart, with joy, and with a trust, knowing that no matter who comes to the door, no matter what the enemy may try, I'm good because God is good and he's faithful. Amen. So that's the introduction. And with that in mind, I just want to share a few things with you, just a few things with you that are going to help you, help me, help us keep our focus in 2021. Okay. It's interesting to me how I feel like 2020 has been sort of a divine reset. Have you noticed the plan and the flow that God has been doing? Oh, there have been bad things. I understand. I'm not one of those that believes it's a fake pandemic, okay? The enemy's real, and stuff he does is real, and it hurts when people get hit with it. I understand that. But God has given us an opportunity to pause in the middle of craziness and recenter and refocus. Build the temple, rebuild the temple. Do you remember that message? Building that altar in your life. I have seen no less than 3 books come out in the last 2 months about building the altar, rebuilding the altar, rekindling the flame. God is speaking to us supernaturally, wanting us to come back to that place of fellowship with him. And then rebuilding the walls, that's getting a healthy soul so that we allow God's stuff in and out and we disallow the enemy's stuff in and out. So that's what part of this is learning how to live with that healthy boundaries, a healthy soul, a healthy understanding of what's going on around me. I have my fellowship with my Father God, and I'm learning how to live in peace and productivity. Those are the people that God will use. Yes, Brother Damon, he is looking for faith. He is looking for people of faith. And those are the people that he will use and elevate in this time. There's going to be a lot of names raised up doing this, that, and the other that we've never heard of. People have never heard of y'all. Going to hear from House of the Lord Fellowship Church because faith is found here. So first of all, I talked a little bit about this Wednesday night. Number one, is from John 12:32. If you want to take notes, this is number one, John 12:32. Lift him up. How can I maintain a proper focus for 2021 to be all that God wants me to be? Lift him up. Jesus said in John 12:32, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. How many of you want to see the lost saved? How many of you have family members that you want to see come to God? How many of you have friends that you want to see come back to God, to come to God? We all want to see those things. And we pray for them. And we wonder, let's see, should I share a tract or should I leave a scripture in their car or what? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. I will draw. You want to make a difference in somebody's life? Lift him up. Lift him up. How? With your words. Did God do something good for you? Well, I'm going to share it with my believer friends, but you know, those unbelievers, they don't really want to hear stuff like that. No, they need to hear the goodness of God. That's what God chose as a testimony. So lift him up. John 3:30 says, he must increase. This is John talking. It said, talking about the Redeemer, he must increase and I must decrease. In order to lift him up, we need people to see more of him and less of us. That is a work that he does in our heart. Father, let me make you bigger. We talk about magnify the Lord with me. Make him bigger. If you take an object and you hold it out here, it's a certain size. I can eliminate one half of Brother Brian's face with that from between here and there. But if I put it up here, most of the room is gone because it's magnified as I draw it closer. Draw closer to him. Magnify him. Exalt him with your words, with your actions, with your praises, with the joy of the Lord. All of those things are found in his presence. And we come and we receive. And then we lift those things up and let the world see what the Lord has done for us. Lift him up and he will draw. You want to see house of the Lord grow? It's not about our programs. It's not about our, we're doing this and we're doing that. Oh, we need to try to be culturally relevant. We need to be socially relevant. We need to deal with those issues that are going on. We need to have a conversation about these things. Jesus said, lift me up, I will draw. It's that simple. Lift him up. Number two, I'm going to try to stay short with these. Number two is Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he will add to you the things that the Gentiles seek after, all the stuff they want. He will add. He didn't say, if you put your faith out there and if you get three scriptures together that all say the same thing and if you believe, I might give you something good. No, he said, just seek first my kingdom, and I will add it to you. Seek first his kingdom. What does that mean? How do you do that? God, I'm looking for your kingdom. He said, well, don't look out there. The kingdom is not out there. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is the domain of the king. So wherever the king rules, that is his kingdom. So you, as an ambassador of the kingdom, have the right and the responsibility that everywhere you go to establish the reign of the king. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Seek first his kingdom. God, you are ruler here. This report says that cancer is ruling here. But Lord, you said that you are ruling here. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the name that is above every name. So I exalt the name of Redeemer, Savior, Healer. And I'm standing on this name because it's under my feet. That's the kingdom. That is the kingdom. When Lauren was about 6 weeks old, She became very ill. She wasn't able to keep anything down. We had her back in ICU. And a lot of issues. They wanted to do surgery. We didn't have peace with that. And we said, you know what? We're going to establish. Pastor Jim was really teaching on the kingdom then. It was a lot of new revelation. And we said, you know what? This is the kingdom of God. I don't care if it is a hospital room. We're going to establish the kingdom here. And we put the worship and the praise music on. And we celebrated God. I said, I'm not worried about this child, God. You gave her to us. She was a miracle in the first place. You're going to sustain her. And we trusted God for that. And in just a few minutes, a nurse came in and she said, I had this idea. I don't know. Maybe it's crazy, but I'm going to try something. You know how people are with babies? They're constantly shaking them and patting them on the back and trying to get them happy and rocking and all this kind of stuff. She said, I had a kid one time that got motion sickness real easy. So she said, I'm going to feed this child very slowly and not move her at all. And we're going to see what happens. She kept everything down. In a few hours, they were like, well, I guess we're going to have to let you go. We don't see anything wrong anymore. That's the kingdom. Knowing who you are and doing things His way. So seek first the kingdom to establish that. His righteousness. You stand as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are already right with God. Already right with God. Therefore, you have a right to draw on the benefits of the kingdom. If you are a citizen, you get the benefits. Okay? You are a citizen of the kingdom. You get the benefits. So seek first His kingdom, and He will add. Do you see where we're putting our focus for 2021? It's on Him. There is nothing more important than Him. Nothing matters more than Him. Without Him, I am nothing. There's no hope and there's no purpose. But in Him is life everlasting. In Him is joy. So number three is look for Him. Jeremiah 29:13. He says, then you will seek me and inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Brother Brian said it this morning, when we find Him, with Him, everything is freely given to us. Everything that we need for life and godliness, we find in the knowledge of Him. He is not hiding from you. He is not playing hide and seek. He is not waiting to see how desperate you are. He said, seek me, find me. If you look for me, if you're looking for stuff, you're looking for things, you're looking for somebody to make it work your way, that's not Him. But when you seek Him with all of your heart, when you understand, God, none of this works without you. Nothing works without you. I must have you. When you seek Him, He will be found. And with Him comes everything that we need for life and godliness. So seek Him. Look for Him is number three. Sorry. Look for Him. Jeremiah 29:13. Look for Him and He will be found. That is His promise. Number four, keeping our focus in 2021, follow Him. Remember we talked about the children of Israel and they were in the desert and they were trying to figure out where to go, and God said, I will lead you. And He was the cloud by day and the fire by night. And when you see the cloud move, it's time to move. When you see the cloud move, it's time to move. You think about the disciples and they were with Jesus. Where did they go? How did they know where to go? When Jesus got up to go somewhere, they followed Jesus. He said, follow me. This is in Matthew 4:19. He said to them, follow me, to His disciples. Let me be your guide, and I will make you. I will make you. I will make you your purpose, your call, your destiny. He told them, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Following Him is what shapes us. following him is, it's like following, have y'all seen those mirrors with the workouts on them and there's a person? That's kind of creepy. I don't know. Feels like somebody else in my house. I don't know how I feel about that. But if you do what they do, then supposedly, eventually, in the mirror reflection, you will look like that thin, buff person right there. If you do what they do, if you follow them, follow me, he said, and I will make you. Follow me. The key is in him. The key is in him. So that was number four. Number five is learn of me. Learn of me. Matthew 11:29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, meek, and humble, and you will find rest, relief, ease, refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For your soul. Your soul is what plagues you when you try to go to sleep at night, and your soul says, what if there's not enough money? And your soul says, what if those people aren't being faithful to you and you think they're your friends and they're not? And your soul says, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And it just won't shut up. Anybody have that problem? Pastor Richard does not have that problem. It takes him a good 2 to 3 seconds to fall asleep because he's found rest for his soul. He doesn't worry about those things. God said, what's to worry about? Amen. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, I don't have direct knowledge of this, but I have heard it said that when they would be training in the field, new oxen, you know, they would yoke them together. And he said, don't be unequally yoked, because one's going to pull harder than the other. It's going to chafe. There's going to be issues. Don't be unequally yoked. But when they're learning and they're training them, they will yoke the experienced, patient, steadfast, I know exactly what to do, oxen with the, oh, what's going on? I don't have a clue. What's happening here? I don't understand. And they yoke them together and they kind of watch this other one and they learn from the one who knows what he's doing. He said, take my yoke upon you. It's easy. I'm going to show you exactly how to do it. Follow me. And you'll have rest. You won't be worrying about, oh, what do I do here? What do I do there? How do I make this work? How do I figure this out? Just do what I do. Now, literally, what does that look like? It looks like getting into the Word. What did Jesus do in every situation? That's getting before his presence. Lord, you show me. He said, learn of me. He said, if you need rest, come to me and I'll give you rest. But if you want to live from a place of rest, not just visit on Sunday morning because I need some of that good worship and it's just going to make me feel so much better. And I usually run out by Wednesday night. Some people don't run out till Sunday. That's why they only come on Sundays. But I'm going to run out of it, so I'm going to come back. But some of you caught that. I'm going to come back for some of that worship and that word because I'm running out. I'm running low. I need some more. Okay, if that's how you want to live, but do you understand that you can have a direct hookup so that you never run out? And when you come together, it's like gravy. It's like the icing on the cake. It gets bigger and more beautiful because your understanding has been expanded all week because you've been coming before the Lord and you've been in the Word, and suddenly things that you read for 15 years, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, God said this when he said that. That's where you learn of him. And he didn't just say you'll feel better. Do you understand? I love the Amplified. It just really opens it up there. He says you, the things that you will find, recreation, refreshment, blessed quiet. Because Jesus didn't listen to those lies, so I don't have to listen to those lies either. Amen? So learn of him and have it easy. That's the easy button. Number six, keeping our focus in 2021. Number six is think on him. Isaiah 26:3 says, Lord, you will guard and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on you whose mind is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you, whose mind is stayed on you. I have a song. If anybody wants it, you can come to me later. I'll share it. It's old school for the old school folks, okay? We're going way back to early 70s, I think. Andre Crouch and the Disciples. Anybody know? They have a song, and it just says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. I have listened to that song about 5,000 times in the last week because I am retraining my brain, retraining my thought processes to continually think on the goodness of the Lord, the faithfulness of the Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding, the rest that he's called me to enter into. Rest. It's labor. It sounds like an oxymoron, but you're working to learn how to live in rest. It is worth the work. And the sooner and the more diligently you will put your hand to that, the sooner you will be in that place of constantly at rest. Because my mind is stayed, is kept, is constantly, continually on him. Now, I understand that scripture memorization doesn't change you, but the ability to lay hold of it can let it change you. And there are times that things will try to come against me, and I just start, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. And I just begin to say whatever scripture I know, and you know, the voice is yelling, and it's like, la, 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 I'm not listening to you. God is faithful. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Lord, I serve you with gladness. Don't listen. Keep your mind on him through his word, through worship. Put some music on that you can sing to the top of your lungs. Let everything around you know, I'm not listening to you. That's how you're going to keep your focus, is to think on him. Number 7 is look at him. We've looked for him. We've sought his kingdom. But this is look at him and be transformed. Look at him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and all of us, as with an unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We're looking into the word, beholding his glory, and as such, we are constantly being transfigured into his very own image. In ever-increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another, this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we behold him in the Word, as we behold him in worship, we are transformed. Now, the enemy wants to make us think, I want you to listen close here, the enemy wants to make you think that you're responsible for change. You got to do better. You have to do better. You're going to have to change something. He wants us to focus on what we think is wrong with us, research a solution, Google, how do I fix blah, 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 behavior modification. How do I get over this anger? How do I stop getting depressed all the time? And we're Googling and we're looking at all these things and places, and he wants us to do that. And then he wants us to figure out how to put it into action, you know, a 3-step plan, do this every day, blah, 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 blah. But God's way for us to change is just to look at him. Look at him. Look at me. I'm the way. I'm the one that came to set it right. I'm the one that came to fix it. And this is what you need to be like. And the transformation process happens in my presence when you're just looking. Just looking. You're not writing down a whole bunch of stuff you have to do. You're not calling people to help. I need somebody to keep me accountable. Those things can be helpful. Don't get me wrong. If the Lord leads you to lay hold of a tool, please lay hold of a tool. But he said, if you just look at me, some of you need to stop the busyness. Stop the busyness, trying to make the house right, trying to make the job right, trying to get the car right, trying to get everything right. Stop the busyness and look at him. because you become more effective when you just take some time to look at him. What an amazing process. Just looking at him changes us. Changes us. Moses spent some time on the mountain with God, and everybody was afraid of him. They kind of ran to the other side when he came down the mountain. They're like, I don't know what happened to you, but you're scary. You're scaring me. Because he was glowing. Was it something he did? Was it something he drank? Was it a regimen that he had? He was just beholding the glory of God. And he was changed. We need to spend more time beholding him. So that was number 7. Look at him and be transformed. Number eight could go all over the map with this one, but I'm gonna focus on where God has us for house of the Lord. But number 8, ask of him and he will give. He will give. James said, you have not for two reasons. One reason, you don't have it because you never even asked for it. You never even thought to come to God and say, hey, God, I need blah, blah, blah. Or number 2, because what you asked for was to consume it upon your own lust. It was out of greed. It was out of thinking it was going to answer the question. And God knows that you get it, you're not going to be happy. That's not going to fix it. And you're going to think more is going to fix it. And more of stuff never fixes it. Only more of him. But if we ask according to his will, we know he hears us and he gives us the desires of our heart. But I want to direct you to Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. You know, God was prophetically through David, I believe, here speaking of Jesus. But remember that he's our elder brother and we are joint heirs with him, joint heirs with Jesus. And it was said to him, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Ask me. Has anybody ever just come out and said, God, give us Botswana. Give us Botswana so we can lay it at your feet and say that your kingdom was established there. God, give us the nations. Give us all the people groups, Lord, to bring them into the kingdom so that we can lay them at your feet. Have you asked? We've said, we've decreed, we're going to do this, we're going to go. But God said, ask me. You know, there are times, parents, some of you will identify, times that there are things you know that your child needs, but you just want them to come and ask for it. You could just kind of give them everything they need whenever you notice it, but you're not really developing that relationship. And God says, I know what you have need of before you ask, but ask. Because he wants to hear your voice. He wants to see your face. He is looking for you. Have you ever thought of it that way? We want to seek God, seek God, seek his face, seek his face. And God's like, I'm seeking Lou. I need some Lou time today. Where is my sister Lou? He's looking for you. He's looking for us. He wants us to come to him and ask like a child to their father. Can I have, what is it now? 85 cents, $3 for a candy bar? I don't know. It used to be a quarter. That was a long time ago. Well, whatever the things are that we have need of and that we desire to see happen, he says, ask. Number 9, and this is the last one. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. We're talking about rich men going to heaven. How do we get God's favor? If we're wealthy, And he said, with men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So number 9 is walk with me. Walk with me and nothing will be impossible. What an amazing way to live. knowing that as long as we have him, as we put him first, we're seeking him, we're looking at him, looking for him, asking of him, walking with him, following him, staying with him, nothing. You want to go to UT? You want to be in the most difficult program to get in? Walk with me, Natasha. Nothing is impossible. You want to live blessed? You want to not have to work for a living so that you can minister for a living and let something else work for you? You want to be on the mission field and not have to worry about the 9-to-5 job so that you can pay the bills? Walk with me. Nothing is impossible. So I want to challenge you as we're coming into a new year, 2021. Remember that it only works. Remember the beautiful scene coming downstairs at Christmas time. All the beautiful things are wrapped, everything wonderful that your little heart ever desired is laying right there for you at the foot of the tree, like the cross, where everything was purchased back from that bully that came in to take it. You want to live that scenario? It's in him. Look at him. Seek him. Follow him. Inquire of him. Look at him. Think about, meditate on him. Because in him is everything that pertains to life and godliness. Amen? All right. That's all I have.
Hallelujah. Excellent word. Excellent word. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard. We praise you, Father, that all things point to you and we look to you. We choose to set our hearts on you. All of our life, all of our attention, all of our focus on you, Father God. We thank you. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Father, that the word that we've heard takes root and grows in our hearts, that it produces much fruit. It produces your fruit, Father, the fruit of the Spirit, which is righteousness, which is peace and joy and patience and goodness and long-suffering and all of those. Father, we thank you that they are growing in our lives. They are growing in us. And we are a witness to the world of your goodness. And we display your goodness everywhere we go. You said the kingdom of God is not without, but it is within. But help us, Father, that we would let it out so that others may see and be drawn to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. Bless your name. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. It's been a great time in the presence of the Lord this morning. Thank you all for coming. Let's just offer a praise to God. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory and honor and praise to your name forever and ever and ever. We choose to worship you. We choose to keep you high and lifted up, Father God, in our hearts and our minds and our lives. We praise you. We praise you. We worship you. We worship you in the beauty of your holiness and the beauty of your love for us. Thank you. Thank you that you loved us so much, that you laid all these things at our feet through you, Father God, through Jesus, our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how he loves you and me. He loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Sing it one more time all together. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Father God loves us. He has blessed us with his presence. He has blessed us with all good things. You are the blessed of the Lord. You carry in you the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, because of the Holy Spirit living within you. Everywhere you go, you bring that kingdom into play, and you release that kingdom into others' lives. God has surrounded you with his favor because he loves you. God has surrounded you with grace and mercy because he loves you. God has brought to you all the things that he created for your pleasure. Everything that you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. And your peace is great because you are taught of the Lord. You keep your mind stayed and settled on him, and your life is filled with goodness and peace. And everywhere you go, you are the sweet presence of God in that place. And as he is exalted, he draws men to himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget, we have some refreshments. It's been refreshing in the presence of God, isn't it? It's very nice. Very nice. God is so good. And there's some good cookies out there, too. We can refresh our physical bodies, ruin our appetite so that we won't eat a whole lot. Yes, brother. Okay. Problem solved. You are loved. You're blessed. Go with God. If we don't see you between now and Sunday, Happy New Year. We're going to have church on Wednesday. There's the men's prayer on Zoom on Friday morning. But Happy New Year. Keep your focus on God. Hallelujah. We'll see you. Bless you.